You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Top of the morning to you on this final day of April. Is this year flying by or what? Hope your week got off to a good start. We will take it from here. Hold on one second. How the heck are you? We are Miller and Moulton. MillerandMoulton.com. Miller_Moulton on X. Broadcasting live from, two of the many corners of Florida. Southwest Florida and Northeast Florida. I'm David Moulton, broadcasting in Jacksonville.
That would make me Mark Miller, broadcasting in Southwest Florida.
Yeah, Miller and Moulton. And for those new audience in Jacksonville and Huntsville, welcome. We're an acquired taste, all right? Kind of like those worn socks, okay? And eventually even we get a hole in them, but you don't necessarily want to get rid of them, okay? You hide them from your wife, okay, in which you put the hole on the bottom of your foot, okay, so that when you're walking around, nobody sees the hole in your sock.
What in the heck? Now we're holy socks?
Well, I just...
Acquired taste is one thing, but socks with holes in them?
All right.
That's what my father used to threaten to get me for Christmas from Santa when I was being bad, you're going to get a pair of socks with holes in them.
I was trying to give the impression. See, at first I said we're worn socks, and then eventually, you know, which become a hole in them. That's all. But, you know, yeah, they're comfortable. That's all I'm trying to say. Got to admit, I'm a little bummed that the series only went five. But got to tip it. Tip of the hat to the Panthers. And most series aren't going very long. NBA, NHL, it's like, listen, I know what you guys mapped out on the calendar. We'd like to get this over shorter if we can.
It's going to be some long breaks in both sports because there have been quick series already in the postseason, teams being eliminated in sweeps, teams being eliminated in five. And was it the end of an era last night in Tampa Bay, or in Sunrise with the Tampa Bay Lightning, I should say?
I will give ESPN, and you and I have both been very critical of their hockey coverage. We think TNT's is better. We think their pictures are better. We think their announcers are far better. All right. Credit ESPN last night for having the wherewithal to know that the biggest story at the very end, because we'll have plenty of time to jump back on the Panthers story. But the story, and they did not shy away from it, is this the end for Stamkos in Tampa Bay?
I will say it was their story right from the beginning. I mean, right from the open, they brought it up and continued it throughout the coverage and stuck with it until Steven Stamkos left the ice. The last player to leave the ice from the Tampa Bay Lightning.
And the Panthers, in a game that was far closer than the score, it was 2-1 mid-third. Panthers got a goal, then another one, then the Lightning gave up two empty netters, desperately trying to get back in it. But Panthers in five, good for them. Getting over the hump. Third time the charm against the Lightning in these last 4 years. And, man, the Eastern playoffs in the NHL. Hoo-wee. We are one more win away by Boston and Carolina of having the big four staring at each other in the East.
And as much as you and I wanted to see more of Florida and Tampa, maybe a little bit of selfishness on our part on how good the series was, the big four in this conference have been dominant and are the teams we want to see. And it may give us even a better second round because they've cleaned up the first round in ample time to not be too banged up.
Right. Very few injuries so far, knock on wood, amongst the big four in the East. So, okay, good. Let's do it. Let's get to it. We talk about, was it the end for Stamkos in Tampa Bay? There was a post, and I'm still in the habit of saying tweet. There was a post on X late in the afternoon yesterday saying that this will be LeBron's last game in a Lakers uniform. It was by, I believe, Josina Anderson. And she matter-of-factly said, all right, this is it. This is going to be it. Now, he can opt out. This can be it. LeBron, well, first off, he can retire. He's 39. But I mean, did we see the end of LeBron's Laker era? 6 years, couple of conference finals, an NBA title, but it was in the pandemic. They didn't even get a parade. Boy, that sucks when you think about it, huh? Win a title, you don't even get a parade? Man, does it even count if you don't get a parade?
It counts.
It does.
You get a ring.
You do.
More important than a parade, you get a ring.
Well, but Mark, you know my feeling. What does every fan base deserve?
I understand, but the Lakers fan base has had plenty of parades. They're going to be okay.
That is true. So, by the way, the old man's not bad. I know people, you know, LeBron's a polarizing figure, probably as much off the court as on. He played 44 minutes last night. He was one assist shy of a triple-double. 39-11. Yeah, 44 minutes. Arguably best player on the floor last night. 39 years old, played 44 minutes. Right. I mean, listen, a lot of people out there don't like him. Seriously, how good he still is at his age? Damn. But so maybe the end of two eras last night. One a lot longer. One guy, a better player. One of the all-time greats. But playoffs will do that to you, Mark. The end is sudden.
Yes, it is. Very matter of fact. And for the Lightning, they have a lot of questions now in the offseason.
I don't know how much flexibility they have. You know, that I don't think this is a Toronto situation. You know, I really don't. I look at the Lightning more like the Phoenix Suns.
You think they're pretty locked in cap-wise of what they have, and if Stamkos goes, they've got no one else to bring in because they're up against it cap-wise.
Well, but also, I mean, come on. You're not getting rid of Vasilevsky. You're not getting rid of Hedman. You're not getting rid of Kucherov. You're not getting rid of Point. Well, I mean, if you decide for whatever reason you're moving on from Stamkos, okay, you get $8.5 million back in salary going forward. Okay, I guess you go get a couple guys. But, I mean, they've been a big five here for the last few years.
I mean, they haven't lost because of the big five. They've lost because the back six have been completely decimated because they've had to pay the big five. The question becomes, what do they do with the Stamkos money? How much of a discount is he going to take to come back to Tampa?
The other thing that I am curious about, and it only happens a few times in sports, is this a case where the fans can influence an organization's decision? The fans do not want him to go. They don't. And this is a very smart hockey market. Don't just think because it's a hockey market in the South. This is an excellent hockey market. Sophisticated fan base. They've been through this a couple times, by the way. You know, the 04 team, the lockout, and then, they, you know, they had to break up that Stanley Cup champion. You know, then they had a team that went to the conference finals, but still, that wasn't the core of what they ended up having that went on this 10-year run. Six conference finals, four appearances in the finals, two Lord Stanleys. This is a sophisticated hockey market. But, Mark, there are one or two players that go beyond that. You know, the Laker fan, yeah, they're a little nuts, but that's actually a very sophisticated basketball market. I mean, they can go over the cliff, but they know their basketball. But you know what the Laker fan base said to management? Don't let Kobe go anywhere. Don't care. I know we're not good. There's probably much better ways we could use that money. You sign him, you keep him, he retires a Laker. We'll figure it out afterwards. And from a ticket standpoint, they went okay.
And I look at Tampa right now, and I look at the Pittsburgh Penguins. And if you're not smart with what you're doing with your aging veterans, you end up with an old team that's not good enough. And your best player is still great, but you're not good enough to win anything. And is that what you want?
Scored 40 goals this year, point a game guy. All right, lethal on the power play. Although, how ironic that it was their power play that let them down in this series. I mean, if their power play had done what it was supposed to do, they would have had the lead in the third period last night, besides the two disallowed goals. But I'm just curious. Like, I don't know what the sentiment's going to be in Los Angeles. And I don't know about the whole, you know, that's a fickle fan base crowd. That the Lakers are the number one team in the market. But that doesn't necessarily mean they pay the prices to go to those games. That's got to be a semi-entertaining product in order for people to pay those prices. Jeannie Buss has to actually take into consideration, am I going to have 2,000-3,000 empty seats if I let LeBron go? I don't think the Lightning are going to lose 15 season ticket holders if they move on from Stamkos. But, Mark, I'm just wondering, is this one of those instances when the fans let the owner know, I understand if this actually prevents us from seriously challenging for a cup. I'd rather be a playoff team for 2 years with Stamkos than whatever it is you were thinking of doing without. I'll be curious.
I will be as well. The other side of it is that there are a lot of GMs that may want a Steven Stamkos to help their team get over the hump.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, to look at the big four in the East here. Obviously, two of them are going to come short in the second round. One of them is going to lose in the conference final. I mean, Carolina has been searching for goal scoring for 10 years. The Rangers have a hole on the right wing on their number one line. They've had it for 2 years now.
And Toronto has a hole in the entire city because right. They lack leadership.
Yes, they do.
They lack leadership.
Yes, they do, and toughness. Yep. Something that Stamkos and the Lightning had to deal with early on in their run. Mm-hmm. Right. Stamkos went from a pretty player to a terrific all-around player. Now he's not as good a 200-foot player anymore. He's not. He's not the great skater that he was. Still got great hands. Can still put the biscuit in the basket. But, the playoffs are glorious. The storylines that come out of them are just fantastic. Miller and Moulton. The aftermath of the draft, a lot of signings going on. Some interesting stuff in the NFL. The baseball season's a month old. We had two threats of no-nos last night. Miller and Moulton, thanks for listening.
To Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
Past the hour. Miller and Moulton, MillerandMoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X. Thanks so much for being with us. I'm David Moulton, broadcasting from Jacksonville.
And that makes me Mark Miller, broadcasting from Southwest Florida. Hello, Jacksonville.
Hello. We did, over 15 years together in Southwest Florida. I moved to Jacksonville nearly 2 years ago for family reasons, but we continued the show. Why not? Because you know what the world needs? More sports radio shows and more podcasts. And we figured you're right. So we're the 1,219,000th show and podcast. We'll see if we can be one of the final million standing. That's our goal. David Sampson will join us at the top of the hour. He's one of our regulars every Tuesday, 7 a.m. in the East. And he's on a world tour. I think he did his last show in the first leg of the tour last night. I think he flew back from Europe late last week. And I think he was in the city. I think he was in New York City last night. So, we'll get him on another 2-3 hours sleep. And he'll be punchy. He'll be entertaining. David Sampson in about 40 minutes' time. Pat Kerwin will join us as we wrap up the draft. And there's only, 2-3 series in all of the NBA and the NHL that are 2-2. And one of them's Orlando and Cleveland. So we'll check in with the Magic, who have come from 2-0 down, whack the Cavs twice, and see whether or not a road team can even be competitive in a game in this series.
Yeah, the other 2-2 series, we'll see if a home team can win a game in that series right. With Dallas and Vegas, who have won all their games on the road.
And the only other 2-2 series involves another Dallas team, the Mavs and the Clippers. Because, of course, it makes sense. When Kawhi plays, they lose. When he doesn't play, they win. Of course. That makes sense, right? Yeah. Miller and Moulton. So this story was unfolding right as our show was ending yesterday. What do you think about Jarvis Landry taking a year off and then coming back saying, yeah, I needed a year for my body to heal, man. I'm healed up, ready to go.
We'll see, would be my answer to that. It's right. Tough for anybody in any sport to take a year off and come back, but okay, we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, he was a borderline one at the height of his career, a terrific two, a borderline one. You know, the thought is Jacksonville needs a one, but then again, I don't know. Can never have enough good players, right? If he's still good, man, hell, put him on the team. Absolutely. So that's interesting. Jarvis Landry in camp with the rookies in Jacksonville this week. Just seeing whether or not he's still got it. Huh. All right.
You know me. I'll kick the tires on anyone, David, that can make your team better. He's never been a head case anywhere. He's never been a problem. He's been a hardworking athlete.
Absolutely.
So I want guys like that on my team.
Off the field, if you will, story that was developing late in our show yesterday also, big changes with the NFL today. Pat Kerwin, a part of the NFL today. We'll get his thoughts on that in about an hour and a half. But the two New York quarterbacks, if you will, Boomer Esiason and Phil Simms are out. They're going younger. Matt Ryan is in. J.J. Watt, more of a role on the show. ESPN announces they win the war for Jason Kelce. He's going to join Monday Night Football Countdown. It's what we need. We need more talking heads, Mark. We need more talking heads. No?
David, it's the game of roulette that we play. One goes out, one comes in. I wanted to nominate for a poll question, what's your favorite pregame show? But I don't know if anybody really has one. I don't know how much the audience cares about pregame shows. The networks care desperately.
Yeah, they spend millions, tens of millions on them.
Right. I turn the games on at 1.
I do too. And the NFL kicks off at 1:01 too. I mean, you can't be late. I mean, they don't care. I mean, if you notice, the pregame shows end at like 12:55. And then, you know, they do commercials, and at like 12:59, they send it, you know, on site, and they do the little minute and a half, you know, dog and pony show. And then at 1:01, we kick those suckers off. They ain't playing around.
Yeah, the only reason a pregame show is on at my house is to ensure that I don't miss the opening kick.
I have to admit, and RG3, and for those that don't know, I'm fortunate enough to be part of the Monday Night Football broadcast crew, if you will, because I assist Troy Aikman during the game. And so I get into town usually midday Sunday, and they put all of us in the same hotel. So, you know, I ran into the Monday Night Countdown people all the time. And, you know, most of them, you know, very nice. RG3, terrific, by the way. You'd love to spend a couple hours with RG3. He's awesome with the fans, by the way. I mean, you know, Heisman Trophy winner, Rookie of the Year. I mean, you know, and he's popular. He poses for all the photos, signs all the autographs. He is just an awesome dude. Kelce's replacing him on Monday Night Football Countdown. Now, for as awesome as RG3 was, RG3 is nice. You know, you go, if you spend time with RG3, you know, you're sitting in the lobby. You're sitting in the hotel restaurant. You know, it's polite. Mark, it's going to be Jason Kelce on the road. I mean, don't we have to go out and find, like, some PBRs and, like, a bull? And don't we have to, like...
Well, there's definitely a segment worthy of what did Jason do last night.
Right.
You know, what did Jason do on – where did he watch Sunday Night Football? Because that's what I don't care what he has to say on Monday. I want to know what he's doing Sunday night when he gets into town.
I mean, unless they're asking him to do stuff in the morning on Monday, like if they're asking him to do Greeny's show or Stephen A's show. But I mean, if he doesn't have to be ready till 3 or 4 in the afternoon to, you know, to do their 3-hour pregame or whatever it is they do. I mean, you can go out and tie one on. You could be Bill Raftery. That's what I'm looking at here. Did ESPN just hire their next Bill Raftery? And for those that don't know, 80-year-old Bill Raftery can still close a bar with the best of them. I mean, Ian Eagle, when he was in his mid-20s, was doing Nets games with Bill Raftery, and very early on in their tenure, Ian looked right at him and said, yeah, I can't hang with you. I'm going back to the room. Boom, that's it. Raf was in his early 50s. Ian was like 27. Ian's like, phew, I got no game compared to you. So that's what I'm wondering here. Did ESPN just hire the next Raf?
We'll see. I think that it's a win for them because his popularity is never going to be bigger than it is right now.
I'm with you. Like, I'm surprised they sold their podcast for an unbelievable amount of money. And I'm wondering how close are we to overexposure on the Kelseys. But you and I have wondered that about the Mannings, and that hasn't happened. People still seem to like them. And goodness knows, they're in 84 commercials. They're doing shows all the time.
And they've continued to take themselves sometimes seriously and other times completely poking fun at themselves.
Right.
That seems to help the mix, David, if you know what I mean. They do not take themselves seriously all the time. They do enough poking of fun at themselves that allows others to do so as well.
But don't you sense the Mannings are kind of like Adam Sandler? That it's the same movie every time. It doesn't mean it's not entertaining. Doesn't mean I'm not going to watch. Doesn't mean I'm not going to pay money for it. But, I mean, you know, Peyton's told the same corny jokes now for 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
But people are still laughing. People haven't gone, oh, man, get some new material. No, they seem to be going, yeah, Peyton, I like him.
He's nice, so, David.
He's nice. People like nice, okay? Especially TV executives.
Welcome back to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
Minutes till the top of the hour. That's when David Sampson joins us for his weekly visit. Pat Kerwin will join us for one of his 2 weekly visits a little over an hour from now. And 2 hours from now, we'll look in at a really good series that no one is watching. The Cleveland Cavs and the Orlando Magic tied it too. We'll talk about it from the Magic perspective. But right now it is time for
the Starting Five. 5 stories you need to know. It's the Starting Five on Miller and Moulton. Here's number one.
Number one is the NFL. Why not? Chiefs signed Travis Kelce. Richest deal for a tight end in terms of average annual salary ever. A 2-year deal, a little over $34 million. So there you go. Chiefs and Kelce basically saying, yeah, I got 2 more years in me. Which makes sense. I mean, what's he, 34? Turned 35 during this season? You know, that's about right. There were times last year in which he looked like he lost a step. They held him out of that final regular season game in the playoffs. Didn't look like he lost a step.
No, it actually looked like that week off completely rejuvenated him.
Mm-hmm. So the Chiefs throwing a little extra money Kelce's way. They didn't have to. But, you know, he said, if I'm the best tight end, shouldn't I be paid the best? And they said, just let us get through the draft. We'll take care of that. And they did. Mentioned it earlier, 31-year-old Jarvis Landry, after a year off, has showed up in Jacksonville to see if he's still got it. He's working out with the Jags rookies this week. I hope he's still got it. He's a good player. I like watching him play. Vegas signs former Cowboys wide receiver Michael Gallup, a 1-year deal, potentially worth up to $3 million. got to tell you, if he can regain his past form, that's a bargain. Falcons pick up the fifth-year option on tight end Kyle Pitts. So Kirk Cousins, Mark, for his 2 years in Atlanta, will have Kyle Pitts.
Let's see if they decide to throw the football to him now.
Right. 53 catches, I think, the most in a season that he's had in his first 3 years in the league. But he's under contract this year, and next year his option is for a little less than $11 million. By the way, New England, they paid one of their own. See, it's real easy, Mark, I think, if you're the general manager of the Patriots. There's only like three or four guys on the roster worth paying. So I think it's real easy to, like, you know, point them out and sign them to extensions. One of them, defensive lineman Christian Barmore, second-round pick 3 years ago, so he was entering the final year of his contract. They said, yeah, let's take care of that. They gave him a four-year extension, which could earn him up to $92 million. That's $23 a year. Worth noting, however, that only 42 of the 92 is guaranteed.
I did see something on that contract. I believe it's the highest contract that New England's paid for anybody not named Brady.
Correct.
Thought I'd point that out.
Well, it took 5 years, but we're finally putting the Brady era to bed, is what they're doing in New England. Let's go to hockey, where the Panthers get over the Lightning hump. After losing to them in the playoffs in 21 and 22, Florida. 6-1 was the final. The game was much closer than that. It was 2-1 mid-third. You throw in a couple empty netters. Bob was terrific. Would you say, by the way, that at the end of this series, that Florida's goaltending was every bit as equal, maybe even slightly better than Tampa Bay's?
Well, and I said this to you before, you know, Bob's A game is as good as anyone's A game. The problem with Bob is that every once in a while, a B or a C or a C minus game shows up. Bob's A game is sensational. Sensational, David.
And he was sensational. And he made 31 saves last night. Barkov, 2 goals and an assist. The captain leading the Panthers past the Lightning in 5 games. They'll await the winner of Boston and Toronto, which could end tonight with the Bruins up 3-1. And now for the Lightning, Stamkos' contract has expired. What do they do? And what is worth pointing out is that Braden Point's extension kicks in next year. So he played this year at a little under $2 million. Next year, he counts nearly $7 million on the cap. So it's part of the process here for the Lightning. By the way, a road team has won all 4 games out west between the Stars and the Golden Knights. Dallas, a 4-2 winner last night to even that series at 2 games apiece. 4 games tonight in the NHL. All 4 series 3-1. Boston, Carolina, Colorado, and Vancouver, 3 of the 4 at home, all with a win tonight, can advance. Seattle fired head coach Dave Hakstol. Just a year ago, he led them to the second round of the playoffs in their second year of existence. And yeah, Ron Francis fired him yesterday. Apparently, like 5 guys in the locker room met with the GM and said, yeah, we ain't coming back if he's the coach, just so you know. Francis went, well, then I guess he's no longer a coach. NBA, in a game not as close as the final score, Celtics by 14 over the Heat, 102-88. Derek White with 38 for the Celtics, a career high. Derek White. We're going to make Derek White beat us. Okay. Wow. Celtics up 3-1. Porzingis, however, left with a right calf injury. Non-contact calf injury. They said his Achilles is okay, but he walked off the court late second quarter, did not return, walked out of the arena in a walking boot. My guess is he won't play game 5 and they'll rest it up and get him back as soon as they can. Oklahoma City swept the Pelicans right out of the playoffs, 97-89. They'll face the winner of Dallas in the
Alrighty then. The same problems.
Paul Murray. His calf was bothering him. The training staff said, yeah, why don't you sit the rest of the game out? Murray said, no, I'm playing. Murray hit the game-winning shot with under 4 seconds to go. Second time in the series he did it. Denver eliminates the Lakers 108-106. They did so in five. LeBron, by the way, 44 minutes, 30 points, 9 rebounds, 11 assists. Was it his final game in Los Angeles? He can opt out. 39 years old. Do you think LeBron's the answer somewhere? Like, is there a team out there in which he said, you know, if he really wants to win one more ring and he's got 1 or 2 years left, he should go here? Is it Cleveland? Believe it or not.
Is it the Knicks?
I don't know if you can take the ball out of Jalen Brunson's hands.
Yeah, I know.
Right now.
But he can facilitate. He can play the point.
Oh, there's no doubt. I'm just throwing it out there. Three games tonight. Knicks can eliminate the Sixers. Indiana on the road can eliminate Milwaukee. And then Orlando and Cleveland, NBA TV special. Series tied at 2. Baseball. The Marlins have lost 7 in a row. They're 6-24. They were just swept at home by the Nats. I don't want to say things are going badly or anything. But, Mark, let's play Guess the Attendance. Remember, Heat were home, Panthers were home. Not that it matters, but Marlins, Guess the Attendance. I will say they outdrew Oakland last night, but that's it. Guess the Attendance, Monday night for the Nats. Go.
71-47.
Lower. Great guess, by the way. That's outstanding. 63-76. And we thank you. Drive home safely. Rays got a much-needed win. They had lost 6 of 7. They beat Milwaukee on the road 1-0. We'll talk about their City Connect jerseys and hats a little bit later on. The Cubs were no-hit going into the 8th. Tied it in the 8th. And then Christopher Morel with a 2-run homer off Diaz in the 9th. Cubs beat the Mets 3-1. Orioles now tied for first with the Yankees. They beat them 2-0. Twins have won 8 in a row. They beat the White Sox 3-2. Justin Turner, 2 homers for the Jays and a 6-5 win over the Royals. Atlanta took a no-hitter into the 8th, But Mitch Garner hit a 2-run homer in the 9th for Seattle to beat Atlanta 2-1. Angels snap a 4-game skid, beat the Phillies 6-5. Reds 5-2 over San Diego. That Ellie De La Cruz, by the way, you get a chance. He hit a home run last night. That ball's still traveling. Is his 8th of the year. He's on pace for 40-plus.
And he's got like 15, 16 stolen bases already. I mean,
yeah. He's literally on pace right now, all right, for a 40-80 season. And he's like 22. Dodgers double up Arizona 8-4. They have the biggest lead in baseball right now. They have a 4-game lead in the division. Everyone else in the division is under 500. All right, I said the Marlins outdrew the A's, and the Marlins did 63-76. Oakland's been playing pretty good ball, Mark. They've won 5 of 8. They beat the Pirates last night at home 5-1 before.
42-36.
Lower.
Damn.
30, I know. 35-28 on hand at the former Oakland Alameda Coliseum. And, gentlemen, we have a bet to make today because we had a rainout in Detroit between the Cardinals and the Tigers. So we've got a double dip today.
Ah, let's play 2.
And you know what we do. Whoever wins the first game, we bet against them in the second because we bet on splits. So I don't know how much money we have left in the account, but there's where some of it is going. Oh, by the way, the NCAA is involved in a bunch of lawsuits right now, and they know they're not going to win any of them. So they sat down, apparently, late last week in Dallas with the folks that are bringing this antitrust case against them. And apparently all the college football commissioners who were in town for their spring meeting, they stayed, and they joined the negotiations. And Mark, apparently, the NCAA is pretty far down the road with settling this antitrust case, in which apparently all parties will chip in a bunch of money, and a couple of $1 billion is going to be distributed to former college athletes. And apparently they're negotiating a future business model which will involve revenue sharing.
Boy, it sounds like an employee-employer type situation now, doesn't it, David?
It sure does, Mark. Sounds like the other 4 major sports, but what do we know? Oh, by the way, Trent Dilfer, brought in an organization called athletes.org. They're basically a union. They're a players association. He brought them in a few months ago to his team, let them address his team. Yesterday, every UAB football player signed on with this organization. Now, they said, we're not suing the school or anything. We're not going to sit down and negotiate with the school. But basically, when this case gets settled and we get down the road, we want representation. So the UAB football team essentially unionized yesterday.
Because of their head coach.
At the urging of their head coach. Because, and he said publicly, now, it's funny, the school has had no comment. I'm curious if the school is happy about this or not, or if the school realizes, ah, hell, this is the future. Good job, Trent. And one other sports note, the Women's World Cup is up for bid. It's between Brazil, Europe, and the U.S. and Mexico. Well, the U.S. and Mexico withdrew their bid yesterday. They said, we're going to go for 2031. We'll let Brazil and three countries in Europe fight it out as to who hosts the Women's World Cup in 2027. So there. And at 9 minutes before the hour, that was...
That was the Starting Five every weekday morning at this time on Miller and Moulton.
And if you're new to the show, that truly was five. NFL, NHL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NCAA, with a sprinkle, just a sprinkle of the World Cup soccer bidding news. That's all. Five and a sprinkle. And if you're joining us at the end of the show.
Five and a sprinkle?
And a sprinkle. The Women's World Cup thing was a sprinkle.
So that story didn't really count?
No, it was a sprinkle. That's all. I mean, you know, the wing wasn't very meaty. I mean, the other wings, they were plump. They were juicy. Okay, that was just, you know.
You always have that one wing in there.
Thank you.
Sometimes it's a flat. Sometimes it's a drum. There's nothing to it.
Thank you. And you literally, you want to call the waiter over and go, you seriously counting this as one of the 10? I mean, are you serious about this? Yes, that's what that was.
It's still a wing.
They count it. It's true. They count it, but you don't count it. When you're sitting and looking at your plate, you go, I'll be damned. They gave me nine and a sprinkle. That's what they did.
When you wanted nine and a boost.
I wanted it in honor of our producer. You're going to get to know Trent Bally. Okay, he gambles, which is amazing because we pay him $8 a show, so we don't know what he gambles with. But he, you know, the Hard Rock app, they provide some boost bets throughout the day. He loves the boosts, and he likes to, as he said, when he throws like a buck or two on a game, literally, it's a sprinkle.
It's how we put food on the table.
And by food, he means ramen.
I was going to say, man.
Miller and Moulton. David Sampson on the other side.